Hello and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road. This is where we look back and kind of reflect upon some sermons we've had in the past, and we look forward to what we're doing this week at Charlestown Road. We welcome each of you being with us today as we kind of launch into some things we want to talk and share with you about. This week, we have Brother Dan Langford with us from Colorado, and he's come to present some lessons to us, a really great topic as we talk about in the light of his presence. But we're looking at some deep subjects such as solitude, sacrifice, contentment, and the singular lifestyle that we think about focuses upon Jesus Christ. And in our fast-paced, busy world we live in, this is just a wonderful breath of fresh air for us. And Dan has been with us before. He's just a great, great friend of ours, great preacher of God's Word. And so, Dan, it's great to have you with us today, and we appreciate all the work you've been doing with us this week.
Well, thanks. It's been awesome to be back with Charlestown Road. Just love this church, so many good things, and you and Jason have always been super supportive of me, Roger, so I just really appreciate you guys, appreciate the opportunity to do it. And I'm enjoying the topics. You know, this is something that just, I feel pretty passionate about these things as well, and so I'm not saying that means I'm good at them. It just means that I feel passionate about them, but I'm enjoying the sermons.
Well, you are good at it, and it's just something I think is very needful. If you have the opportunity, the meeting continues through tonight at 7 o'clock here at Charlestown Road, and we would invite you to come. All these lessons are on our website. They're easy to get to, and we encourage you, if you haven't grabbed these, to grab some of these. They are the type of lessons that you need to go back through and just kind of like grandma's old soup, just kind of just simmer a little while in your brain and think about these things. Because, Dan, as we kind of launch into a little discussion about these things, our culture and our times are just opposite of what you're talking about. We live with very full schedules. Most of us get up, and we hit the floor running, and we finally collapse at the end of a day. Just exhausted. We never get done everything we want to do. It's just so much that we try to do. And so when we talk about that singular focus on Jesus, solitude, sacrifice, contentment, we sometimes think that's a faraway island. And it's just like, it'd be great to get there, but I look at my life and I just can't do that. And so what would you say to that?
I mean, I think everybody gets that. I certainly do. I mean, just the workaday life tends to do that to you. Just the interactions of family and all that kind of stuff just tends to make you think, you know, this would be great if I could, but there's no way. There's just, you can't pause all of that stuff. It all needs me, or it, you know, whatever it may be. And so I think that really the only answer to how do we get better at this is you have to be deliberate. It has to be a deliberate choice. There's no like just waiting for this to happen naturally. It won't.
Yeah,
you know, not in the way that the world is built for us today.
And I think that's just kind of a myth a lot of people have, is that if I can just hang on, just hold on, you know, to the very white knuckling through life until I retire, then once I retire, then all these things are just going to unfold. I'll slow down. I'll have solitude. I'll have contentment. But if I can just get through this rat race until I retire, then that's going to happen.
But I don't think we can make it that late without these things along the way.
Yeah.
We have got to find ways to work this into our lives in order to get there with any sort of peacefulness and any sort of stability and faithfulness still intact. You know, it's got to be something that's a regular part of our lives, not always in the future, not always tomorrow's thing.
And the thing about these things, these are spiritual qualities. And so just merely retiring from your job, sleeping in till 10 o'clock the next morning, it's not going to bring these things. These are deliberate choices that are built upon Christ, and that's the key. I think about this young couple who just gets married, and they're living in a small apartment, and, you know, they think, well, you know, someday when we have our own house, then we'll have people over and we'll do some entertaining. And then they have kids, and it's just too much. Well, then later on, once we're into the next house, you know, they're always kicking that can down the road. It never, ever happens. Yeah. And I think to these qualities you brought out to us, we need to have them now.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, that's the thing, is a lot of times we look at these ideas and we think, well, that's the opposite of a busy life. you know, that's for a calm life. My life is a busy life. And I hope that's not the way we think of it. These are part of a busy life. It's kind of like we were talking about in one of the messages that part of long distance running, part of the training for long distance running is you have to do some aerobic level training, which is where you go slower in order to train your body to go faster. And I think if we can learn to do this, we'll find that it's not zapping the power out of our lives. It's actually increasing the power in our lives to become more what we should be in the first place.
That's great. And, you know, one of the things when we look back to an earlier generation, our parents or grandparents or beyond that, their lifestyle just seems so simpler than ours. And yet we have all this technology. We have all these, you know, grandma way back, she couldn't just push buttons and do the laundry or cook food in the microwave. You know, we have all things that make life simpler, but it's not simpler for us. And it seems like this generation is really stressed and anxious, and we're just struggling with lots of things. And why do you think that is?
I mean, I think the lack of technology has an inherent way of teaching you to slow down and be more patient with things that you just can't speed up otherwise. You know, my grandmother... when my dad talks about when he was a kid, Grandma actually made the soap that they used in the bathtub. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he said it was an all-day process. And like anymore, I can't think of anything that we do for our household to just like meet the basic necessities that's an all-day process. That just you commit to it from beginning to end until it's done, and that's the only way it can be accomplished. We just don't have anything like that. Everything is too convenient for us. And so... I mean, I think just the fact that we've seen so many ways that things are shortcutted for us and that they're made more convenient for us, and we forget the value of really slowing it down all down and just stripping all that away and going slowly, especially in the things of God. We forget the value of just a slow, deep dig, listening well to the words of God, all that kind of stuff, and letting it penetrate our hearts. You know, until it changes who we are.
Yeah, you had a great section in one of your lessons about meditation, and I love how you illustrated it. It's not the image of a monk who's just kind of sitting cross-legged and palms heavenward and just humming, but it's just dwelling upon God's word and just really thinking things through. And I think part of the downside of this fast-paced generation is that we just have shallow thinking. We look at the news and there's a little banner at the bottom that just gives us the highlights. We click on our phones and we just want the bullet points. We don't want to read long articles. We don't want to sit through long things. We like short, quick, easy. But what that leads to is shallow thinking.
Yeah. Short and quick is almost always shallow. So like, listen to these words though. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. It's almost like those words are just begging you to slow down by reading them. You know, it's like you have to slow down your mind a little bit to appreciate this.
So somebody listening to this on their way to work today or on their way to school, and they're saying, well, I would just like to take the day off and do that, but I can't. I've got to get to my work. I got to get to school. So in 2024, how do we meditate day and night? How do we do that?
I think for me, the biggest part of it is not wasting the times that I can have, because everybody's calendar has some free time in it. And if, you know, if we use that well, we're going to find that there's more there than we realize. So, like, I'm just telling you, honestly, Roger, for me, the biggest thing is I got to stop scrolling social media. Yeah. That's just my example. It may be everybody else that's listening to this. It may not be you. That's fine. But that's my example, is I got to stop scrolling social media every time there's any downtime in my life. I'm the quintessential millennial or Gen Xer. I pull my phone out every time I'm sitting still, you know, and I got to stop doing that. I got to just kind of take the time to be present, either with, especially when I'm with people, but even when I'm alone, I got to take the time to be considerate and ponder something that matters, you know, that's more than just hey, what's the next screen going to look like?
Right. So let's just real quickly throw in some practical everyday things. You know, all my kids are raised, they're all married, they all have their own kids, they're out of the house. But I remember a time where it seemed like I was always having to go to school, pick up this one or take this one to practice, wait for practice to be over, there's a lot of waiting time. And I remember thinking, I'm waiting my whole life away for these kids. But those are opportunities right there to pray, to meditate. When you're driving from point A to point B, just turn that radio off and use that opportunity. When you're doing some yard work, I mean, you're mowing your yard, it doesn't take a lot of brain skills to mow yard. Just keep that thing straight. That's about all you have to do.
Yeah.
But what are you thinking about while you're mowing?
Yeah.
What are you thinking about when you're vacuuming the floor? What are you thinking about when you're, so we do a lot of things throughout an everyday life.
Yeah.
That if we put the Psalms in our heart, I could be meditating about God right now.
Yeah. The Psalms, Jesus' parables, take any of those like weird sounding illustrations or metaphors from the Proverbs, and you just sit with that for a while, kind of memorize it, but sit with it until you really understand the depth of why they use that metaphor that way. There's so many different things like that that they start to unlock if you just give yourself the time to soak in it and let it ruminate in your mind until you start to see something really wonderful in it. I know I said this in the sermon the other night, but I think this is a really important point. And I heard this, I think, first from some retired rock star that, like so many of these guys, they spend their lives at just the ragged edge of what the human mind is capable of, and like they burn out and all this stuff goes crazy in their lives, and then when they get done playing rock and roll, they retire to some calm little farm. And I heard this guy talking about in his retirement life, he was, he's raising kids now and trying to live the farm life. And he said, it's really important to me that my kids get bored sometimes.
Yeah.
And it is to me too. It's really important to me that I get bored sometimes and I don't run away from that.
Yeah.
I actually figure out how to manage that in my life. And I teach my boys, I've got three little boys, 10, 8, and 4, and I teach them how to manage boredom and use it as an asset, use it as a tool, use it as something that you can deliberately make yourself better, and especially do that by seeking God.
Absolutely. And I think I would add right to that. I think as a parent, sometimes we think every waking moment they have to be happy. And that just, that's
or engaged in something.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where our culture is. I'm always looking for happy, happy, happy. And sometimes you're just not going to be happy. And sometimes you're going to be bored. And sometimes things are going to be tough and hard. But what character lessons come out of those things? That's where we learn patience, and that's where we learn to get along with one another, and lots of valuable lessons that God gives to us that just flows from that concept, and that's just, again, just great practical things that can help us as we journey through life like this. One of the things that I think we're experiencing a lot of places today is just a hurry-up, rushed worship. And it almost presents the idea that we've got to get this done within a certain timetable because I've got someplace else I have to go. Or
because somebody's attention span is going to run out.
Yes.
And I don't want to keep them past that.
Yes. And of course, then, not giving God the quality times, that's a statement was used several years ago, quantity versus quality, and I don't think it should be an either or, it should be both.
Correct.
And so what would be your remedy to a rushed worship concept?
I think the main thing is it comes down to concern and care and just thoughtfulness. If it doesn't have to be slow in order to be thoughtful, but it has to be thoughtful in order for it to matter, whether you're going slowly or quickly. There's got to be deliberate attention paid to what we do in worship. So, like, for example, let me just give some terms that are hopefully helpful for this. I work part-time at Chick-fil-A, and when we train people in Chick-fil-A to work in their drive-thru, one of the things that we try to make sure and instill in them is to still get that, like, Chick-fil-A hospitality connection, even when the interactions in drive-thru are pretty quick. So we always tell our team, we want you to be quick, but never rushed.
Yeah.
We want you to keep moving. We want you to connect with this guest, but we don't want to rush them out of here and make them feel like they were just a transaction. We still want to connect with these people. And I think that's a good way for us to approach worship is we're going to have, I mean, by comparison, a fairly quick connection with God. By comparison to how many hours are in a week, the couple of hours that we spend on Sunday with him are not much. So let's make sure we don't rush past that and treat it as some sort of transaction that we want to move on to the next thing. But at the same time, that doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be slow and boring.
Right.
You know, there's energy and there's passion in this. And the more we pour that into it, the more the time becomes kind of irrelevant.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really appreciate that. And I appreciate when we don't even worry about the time. We're here for God. We give him our all. And it's just a lasting benefit that I think comes from that. Well, in this world of shallow thinking, how do you get depth? How do you get depth? Do you? I mean, you know, we're talking about this spiritually now. So here's somebody, you know, listening to us as they're busy in their day, and they're hearing us talking about, you know, we're in a culture that likes simple, short, quick, shallow. You know, conversations are not very deep anymore. They're not very long anymore. And so, you know, am I to take away from this? I guess I got to go to local college and take a Greek class. I don't know. I mean, how am I going to get depth? You know, and I'm just a regular person here. And what's that mean?
Yeah. I don't know. Preachers, we do things in trios. Here we go. I've give three pieces of advice, I guess, on that. Number one is in your relationships, just go deeper, quicker. Like, I think a lot of us enter a conversation and we're just kind of waiting for the door to open for us something to talk about something that matters.
Yeah.
And you don't have to wait for that. If you want to talk about something that matters, ask a question to that other person to get right to the heart of what matters. And the same thing can be true in our Bible study. You don't have to start with workbooks. Just go straight to the voice of God and go into something you don't understand and just start figuring it out. Just go deeper, quicker. Don't be afraid of it. Don't work your way around it. Don't wait for it to happen by itself. I think the second one is to repeat, right? Things that are repeated tend to go deeper into our minds. And so if we're going to think about the things of God, then we need to think about that thing on repeat. We need to think about it again and again and again and revisit it. I was telling at lunch recently that one of my favorite parables of Jesus recently is the one where he talks about the leaven that the woman puts into some dough and into some flour, and it just starts to grow and grow and grow. And like that parable is one sentence.
Yeah,
it may even only be half a verse if I remember correctly in the way that the text is printed, but I've just found myself stewing on it again and again and again, and it finally one day clicked for me that I realized what Jesus was really saying there. At least I think I did, you know. But it's coming back to it again and again that got me there. Yeah. So repetition is a big part of it. And then I think the third part is just learning to see with faith rather than to see with our eyes.
Yeah.
2 Corinthians talks about that we walk by faith and not by sight. And I heard this really good phrase recently, a Latin phrase. The Latin phrase is coram Deo, and it's where I got the title for this series, In the Light of His Presence, because coram Deo means essentially before the face of God.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing about your life every day that just naturally tells you you're living in the face of God. You're living right in front of His presence, so you have to see your life through the eyes of faith to recognize that.
And I think that, especially that last point, that the idea of just opening your spiritual eyes. Sometimes we, you know, like if we have a daily Bible reading program, as we do here at Charlestown Road, we can read through those chapters quickly and say, okay, I've read my chapters for the day, but have we really read it?
Yeah.
And
have we heard the voice of God through what we've read? And have we understood, like, this means I'm living in His very presence?
And I've had so many people ask me through the years, you know, where do you get your, how do you see all those things in the verses you write about in those jump starts? And a lot of it is just, I just look at that verse. And you look at the word order, and you look at the, how many times in a little paragraph, a certain word is repeated over and over and over. You just start focusing on those things, and it never stops. I mean, that's the only way I see the Bible now, and it just jumps out at you, and you get that kind of depth. You start looking at, you know, rather than just reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you start putting yourself in that story. What if Jesus asked me that question? Or they asked Jesus this question. Why did they ask Jesus that question? What was his answer? And you really start analyzing that stuff and looking at it. Let the text talk to you. But what wonderful, wonderful depth it gives to you. And from death, what happens? When we lower those nets, what happens to us, Dan?
I think a couple of things, but main one is we come to know God better. And it becomes more than just saying that. It becomes a defining quality about us that we know him and we love him, and there is nothing we would rather do than spend more of our time with him. The deeper you go, the more you're drawn in. No, and I think that's what the psalmists were onto so often, so much of the time when they talked about knowing him and being in him and being drawn toward his temple and different things like that. Those feelings I think can be ours too when we go deeper and when we allow ourselves that kind of interaction with him.
And it gives us more of that confidence. You know, it's not like sitting in a biology class. I'm reading this college book and. You know, like I'm just reading because I have to read it. You know the author, and you know what God wants, and it's just a good relationship. I wrote about this a while back that through, you know, the older you are in faith and the more you've just got that faith built upon the Lord, that Bible just becomes one of your best friends. You've carried that Bible, you've used that Bible, there's been times your tears have stained the pages of that Bible, there's times you've underlined things, but that friend, that Bible has carried you, and it's not that book, it's the God behind that book. And what a powerful, powerful hope and faith that gives to you. And that's something, again, that we learn and we appreciate so much about these things. Well, real quickly here, we're just about out of time for today, but I want to just run a couple thoughts to you about preaching.
Okay.
I've kind of done this for a little bit, and you've done this for a little bit.
I'm a rookie. Compared to you, I'm just a rookie. Well, you're the pro.
No. Just tell me your experiences. You know, if someone was to ask you, Dan, why did you decide to preach?
I started because I realized that I had a talent for it, that God had given me a talent for it, and I kind of got scared by the parable about the guy with one talent who buried it in the field and didn't use it for his master. And so I just kept going because of that. And then over time, the more I helped people, the more I started to learn to love helping people. And it's the same sort of thing. Just the deeper you get into it, the deeper it gets into you, yeah. You know, and that's what's kept me going ever since.
Well, I think that's true of all of us as we think about that. If there was a young man out there listening and he was just chewing on the idea, maybe I should preach, maybe I shouldn't, I don't know. Where you are today, what would you tell somebody?
Do it, but do it right.
Okay.
That's what I would say at this point. I mean, there are people everywhere, all around us, all the time, who need to know God, either from the beginning or they need to know him better. And if you can become the example that they follow and the teacher that, you know, speaks the oracles of God for them, then do it. But just don't do it lazily. Yeah. Do it right.
Yeah.
Commit yourself to doing it right.
And that brings in a lot of personal habits. That brings in the idea of your personal study. You know, what the audience sees on Sunday morning is the finished product, the sermon. To me, that's the easiest part of preaching. It's all the stuff that happens during the week. It's all the stuff that leads up to that, the homework, the research, the things you have to do for that, the thinking about the people. All that's kind of connected in that. But that's the challenge of preaching. And as in any job, there's good and there's bad. But the eternal benefits of being able to change someone's life forever.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing like that.
Yeah.
And that's what really propels us and keeps us going with these things. Well, we thank you, Dan, for being with us.
Thank you guys so much for the invitation to be here. I mean, this is this is really good for me. Well, so rejuvenating for my soul to spend time with you and the brethren here.
I appreciate that so much. And once again, Dan will be with us this evening at 7 o'clock as we kind of wrap up our series. Really encourage you to go back and grab this series. This is something in this fast moving times we are in that we need to think about. We cannot put God on the back burner. We cannot say, I'll wait till another time. We need the Lord today. And these are some steps in which we can really do it. Thank you so much for listening to us. We appreciate you so much, and have a blessed day.